We've been looking at, we introduced fasting last week. I will give you a few general points tonight before we dive into a specific fast. But watch this, Mark chapter 9 and look at verse number 13. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 13. I'll read a little bit of scripture here, but watch this. But I say unto you that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. Jeremiah, is the music on outside? Okay, I thought I heard something or something. All right. What now? Oh, is it the wind or something? Okay. Ready? Verse number 16. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? Verse number 17. One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. You see Jesus' frustration there? Watch there at verse number 20. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. This is a demon-possessed boy. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that they said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. When he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So Jesus helps this boy in the passage and uses the lesson that he teaches, that he helps the father with the boy, and he uses this to teach the disciples a lesson. And as we look at fasting, Jesus said there are some things spiritually that will not take place in a Christian's life unless they fast. And if I give you just a few overviews here, just real quick. First of all, you need to understand something. Faith, not fasting, is the one condition on which all divine power rests. Matthew 9:29 says this, then touched he their eyes, saying, listen closely, according to your faith be it unto you. Jesus never told anybody, according to your fasting be it unto you. The purpose for fasting, and we'll show you this at the end, the purpose for fasting is to strengthen your faith, because it's your faith that God sees. It is not, that's very important to understand. You're there, do you see Mark chapter 9? Look at verse number 23. Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Jesus didn't say if you can fast, all things are possible to him that fasts. He did say belief. You're trusting your ability to trust the Lord to handle it. God said that is what gets an answer to prayer. All things are possible to him that believeth or trusts or depends upon. There are degrees of faith. Little faith will get you little answered prayer. More faith will get you more answered prayer, and much faith will get you much answered prayer. Fasting here in the Bible was misunderstood and abused, and last week we looked at Isaiah 58. But I'll give you a few pointers here. Fasting is first of all a matter of obedience, not an option. Fasting is first of all a matter of obedience. We'll come back to Mark 9. Go to Leviticus. Ready? Watch this. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23:26. God takes this business of fasting by His people extremely serious. He takes it very serious. Leviticus chapter 23, and look at verse number 26. Watch this. I know this is God talking to the Jews, but He's still talking to His people, and watch what He says about afflicting our souls. Watch this. Leviticus 23, and the Lord, verse number 26, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the tenth day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you. Watch in this little phrase, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. You say, Pastor, it doesn't say fasting there. Wait a second. When David prayed in the Psalms, it plainly says, I fasted and afflicted my soul. We saw that in Isaiah 58 last week. Fasting is where you afflict your flesh, your soul. So there, God is not using the word fasting, but He is using the word, on the Day of Atonement, ye shall. Here's what God tells the Israelites. One day a year, you will fast. Now, you may not do a 40-day fast. You may not do a 10-day fast. You may not do a 3-day fast. But God told His people in the Old Testament, He expected the Jews. He said every person should fast at least one day a year. God takes this. So it's not a matter. It is a matter of obedience. Now, if you've never fasted before, I understand. Last week we hit the several different types of fasts. Food fasts, sleep fasts, fasts from beauty and things like that. You can listen to it. But go now. Take Kate. There you are. God says fast one day a year in Leviticus 23. Now take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter. Go look at the New Testament. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9:14. Then came to Him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? Matthew 9:15 says, and Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Who is the bridegroom when you read your Bible? In the New Testament, the bridegroom is Jesus. In the Old Testament, it's the Lord. Who's the wife in the Old Testament? Israel. Who's the wife in the New Testament? The local New Testament Baptist church. The local church. Here we go. You ready? Jesus said, right now they have the bridegroom with them. He said, right now my disciples are rejoicing that they can see me and touch me. He said, but when I, the bridegroom, am taken from them, then they shall fast. So now that Jesus is on the right hand of the Father, and He is not on earth with us, now is the time for fasting. Do you all see that? In other words, Jesus is saying, now is the time that we fast. We fast, and it is not it's a matter of obedience. It should not be a matter of it should not be an option. I just fear this. There are tools that God gives you in the Christian life to grow and be a success. And if you aren't careful, you look at some of them and you think, well, that's for super Christians. There's nothing in the Bible that's for super Christians. There's nothing in the Bible that is for, well, that's if you're an extreme, you know, terrorist to the devil Christian. There are no such animals. Do you understand? That is for people who submit to the Word of God. Oh, the type of music you listen to. If you let God control the music you listen to, then that's an extreme. That's not extremism. It's obedience. Well, if you let God dictate how you dress, then that's extreme. That's not extreme. That's obedience. Well, if you let God determine who you hang around as your friends and who you don't, that's extreme. That's obedience. It's all obedience. It's not extremism. It's not fringe Christianity that weirdos do and extreme people. It's normal Christianity. It's normal. And that's what I'm trying to get across to you. Don't look at this as, well, I understand if you haven't done it before, but don't look at it as something for let's take this Christianity thing too far. And I don't think there's anybody in here like that, but I still want to hear, I've heard that before in other places. Next, before we look at this special fast, fasting is not easy because it involves battling against the flesh. Would you take your Bible, before we go to Mark 9, take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and look at verse 25. Fasting is not easy because it involves battling against the flesh. 1 Corinthians, after Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and look at verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate or controlled in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. In other words, he's talking about the Olympians. When they win first place and they're standing on the blocks, they get an olive branch on their head. Isn't that goofy? He said, and in a week, their olive branch wilts. You know, hey, I won that for the 100-yard dash or 100-meter rash. For the 100-meter dash. But he said, they're laboring for an incorruptible crown. Watch this. It says here, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, I'm running the Christian life, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He said, I'm not a shadow boxer. You know. He said, I'm not beating the air. He said, I'm in a real fight. Then look at the next verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know what scared Paul more than anything? He said, I don't let my body tell me what to do. The Holy Spirit tells me what to do. He said, I keep under my body, I keep my flesh weak because I don't want to be as a preacher, somebody's sermon illustration on how another preacher blew it. Paul said, I'm a preacher. He said, I do not want to be cast away or put on the shelf and made unusable by God because my flesh got out of control. He said, I used to kill Christians before I got saved. He said, now I'm a preacher. And he said, and I keep my flesh under control. You know what fasting is? Fasting is a lot like, I mean, how hard is it when you're fasting, when you pass McDonald's? Your mouth never watered that much before when you weren't fasting, but now you're fasting and you see McDonald's and it's like, Well, maybe your mouth never watered when you pass McDonald's. Maybe you get nauseated. I don't know. But as far as, okay, that's fighting the flesh. You'll find out that fasting is a lot like, it's like when somebody says something and you're tempted to lash out with your tongue and you have to exercise self-control and bite your tongue. That's a lot like what fasting is. You don't want the flesh to dominate and to control your activities. Fasting is hard because it's battling the flesh. It's telling your flesh no. Paul said, fasting weakens my flesh so that my body doesn't get out of control and cause me to be unusable. Our society is so motivated by the flesh. Take your Bible and go to Matthew 24. You're there in 1 Corinthians, Matthew 24. We'll go to a few more places here and then we'll get started in the fast itself. Matthew 24, watch this. Matthew 24, and as Jesus is teaching here on prophecy, Matthew 24, verse 38. Matthew 24, verse 38 and 39. For as in the days that were before the flood, They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He said, as we get closer to Jesus coming, our days are going to duplicate the way it was before the flood. And he says people were eating and drinking and giving in marriage. There's nothing wrong with marriage. But could I just say something here? I would think before you get married, getting married is so big, I would think that would be something you would want to fast over and pray over. Make sure that your flesh isn't involved, right? I mean, I would think that that's a big decision in life, and yet I find people that, you know, you want to get married? Yeah, you know, they just met them, you know, a month ago. Be careful. Marriage is a big thing. Here, our society, Jesus said, as we get closer to Him coming, people are going to live more and more in the flesh. They're going to eat and drink, and they're going to give in marriage, and it's all going to be about the physical and what you can see down here. Be careful. I see that in our society. Ready? Fasting is letting go of the visible to take hold of the invisible or the spirit realm. Okay, and this is the last thing we'll look at before we look at the fast itself. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Fasting is letting go of the visible to take hold of the invisible or the spirit world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want you to look at verse 16. Verse 18 is what we'll focus on. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse number 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Look at verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We cannot see the spirit world, but there is a spirit world. But we can, by fasting, reach into the world that we cannot see. That's what fasting does. It enables us to, we still can't see it, but we can reach into it, and then God can work through us. By that. I just thought that was interesting. We don't look at the things which are seen. We're not living for this world. Now let's look at this disciple's fast and what Jesus teaches us or taught His disciples through this special disciple's fast. Go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. We're going to look at the Ezra fast. We're going to look at the Samuel fast. We're going to look at the Daniel fast. We're going to look at the fasts in the Bible, and it's amazing how each fast had a specific purpose. Here, Jesus uses this demon-possessed boy to teach His disciples about faith, prayer, and fasting. And there are some lessons to be pulled. First of all, this specific fast. And maybe you could read your Bible and get different truths out of it. I'm not telling you this is the only thing, but this is what I believe one of the lessons could be from this. Look at Mark chapter 9, and it says here, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away, and I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, look down at verse number 20, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the Spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. This boy wasn't doing this on purpose, but rather he was out of control. I picture a boy that wishes he could stop, but as the demon that is in him is throwing him and he's foaming at the mouth, and the dad comes to the disciples and he's begging each disciple. I think he came to Thomas and said, could you heal my boy? I've heard you all talk about it. They had cast out demons before, right? They'd went soul winning before, right? Jesus had sent them, the 70. They had come back talking about it. Even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. Remember? In Matthew? And so I think this man had heard maybe of the rumors, and he comes to, here's all 12 of the apostles, and they're there, and I think he comes to Matthew and say, would you please help my boy? Look at my boy. There's his boy, blah, 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 you know, and his boy's out of control. My boy can't, could you help my boy? I picture each disciple going over there, going, you know, dear Lord, please heal this boy, and Lord, cast this demon out, and it doesn't work. Then he goes to Thomas. He goes, could you help my boy? Could you help my? I think he did it 12 times. It says, I went to thy disciples and they could not cast him out. Here, I think one of the first things you can learn from this is this fast is designed to help those who can't help themselves. This boy couldn't stop his problem. I think he wanted to stop and get out of this lifestyle. But he could not help or stop himself with this problem. That's how come they say many times they teach as far as when you're praying for somebody that's demon possessed, they have to want freedom. They're not so out of control, but they still need somebody to help them. Do you want the demon to leave? Do you want freedom? You have to ask that question. If they don't, you can't help them. There are some people that are so wrapped up in sin, they hate their life, and they feel like nobody can help them. I don't care whether it's demon possession or if it's just sin that has a hold in their life. This fast is for people who cannot help themselves. They wish they could, but they don't like their life. I picture somebody here, I don't think this boy is wicked. I don't think he's a God-hater or a reprobate. People who feel helpless. They're not rebellious or intentionally sinning, but they're people who are fed up with themselves and they're disgusted with themselves. It would be similar to today to somebody addicted to pornography. And them wishing, they know that they're not supposed to be doing that. But they wish they could be set free from it, but they're not. There's demons in that stuff. There's demons in that stuff. And they wish they could be set free, and they know what they're doing's wrong. It's just like, yeah, okay, talk to somebody that's smoking. Be real careful when you find out somebody that's smoking is trying to quit. You want to encourage them. You don't want to discourage them, because it's hard. It's hard. And most of the time, you don't need to say any discouraging words to them. Because they know it's wrong. And when they're coming to church, a bunch of other Christians, and they're having to leave to go outside, they're embarrassed. You don't have to, well, what do you come to church and smoke? Well, they sit at home and, you know, do this, and then they come here and they have to go an hour without smoking. They're not used to that. Be real careful. You know, I think as God brings people to church and they have bad habits, I think they wish they could break them. I've watched people weep, because they smoke. I can't quit. I've been smoking since I was 10. I've been smoking for 30 years, more than half my life, and I can't. Would you please pray? Yes, I'll pray with you. Yes, I'll help you. I picture this boy is like somebody with an anger or a temper problem, and they know they're out of control, and they wish it was under control. There's like a teenager that's inflamed with lust and is thinking bad thoughts, and he knows he shouldn't be, but he wishes somebody could help him. I think this boy here in Mark chapter 9, I think he wishes he could be delivered. I think these type of Christians, they've used the altar over and over again, but it's stronger than they are. Fasting breaks the wicked domination. I don't care if it's pornography, I don't care if it's smoking, I don't care if it's homosexuality, I don't care if it's whatever it is. God said He chose fasting to break the bonds of wickedness. And this type of disciples fast that Jesus is teaching His disciples is for, like the boy, it's for helping somebody who cannot help themselves. And when you find somebody, a Christian, who is saying, I wish I could, then you need to suggest, we need to fast. We need to fast. And I think that's one lesson that you can learn. What else can you learn from this? We'll call it the disciples' fast here in Mark chapter 9. Fasting is designed to empower those that are powerless. Look at Mark 9:18. This dad, as he comes to them, and he told them in Mark 9:18, and they could not. And I think that just blew his mind. They've done it before. They've led people to Christ before. How come they can't do it now? I went to each disciple and nobody could cast this demon out of my boy. I think he's frustrated and I think he's crying. He says he went to Jesus crying. He said, none of your disciples could cast him out. Did you know you can't get more of the Holy Spirit, but He can get more of you and you can get more of His power? God uses you. Have you ever thought of this? God uses you when we go out soul winning and we pass out tracts. And God uses you to lead someone to the Lord that you've never met before. And then when you go to somebody, your family member, that knows you, and you go to witness to them, it's the same thing. And now they don't want to listen. Lord, I can win people that don't even know me. But when it comes to my own family members and people that I care about more deeply, I can't win them. The lesson from this fast is it's designed to empower those who are powerless. You may have won them before, but if you would fast, what we can do to increase the power that we already have is fasting. This is where fasting comes in. I witnessed to my mom and she didn't want to get saved. I witnessed to my uncle and he didn't want to get saved. God says fasting, just like the disciples could not free this boy. It took Jesus. The lesson, I believe, one of them is that fasting is designed to empower those who are powerless. Look also, if we take the parallel passage, I'm going to pull a truth from this, the same parallel passage in Mark 9, of the boy being have a demon cast out. Look at Matthew 17. We'll come back to Mark 9, but go to Matthew 17. Ready? Matthew 17 and verse number 15. And we'll look at this parallel passage. So fasting is for those, this fast, this disciples' fast is designed to help those who can't help themselves. It's designed to empower those who are powerless. And fasting is designed to break demonic powers. You're in Matthew 17. Look at verse number 15. And this is the same story, but there's one little phrase here that's not in Mark. Ready? Watch this. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And look at verse 18. And Jesus rebuked the devil. Now it doesn't say that in Mark 9, but it says that there in Matthew 17. Jesus rebuked. This boy had a demon. And Jesus plainly rebuked the demon or the devil that was in him. You say, what lesson do you learn from this? It was the devil who had bound this boy and was seeking to destroy him. The devil is not more powerful than God, but I do know this, he's more powerful than any person in this room and all of us put together. None of us are no match for the devil, but he is not equal with God, praise the Lord. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God is greater. They are not equals who are fighting the black and the white. Okay, that is not the way you're supposed to view it. However, this boy had a demon inside him, a devil that was trying to destroy him, wallowing, throwing himself in a... Can you picture a bonfire happening in a backyard and this boy just all of a sudden, and jumps into the fire? This devil that's in him is trying to destroy him. And Jesus rebuked the devil. God has allowed a way for flesh and blood to have power over devils and demonic powers. You say, how? It's by fasting. Did you know, I've already hit on this, and then we'll move on. The best way for a homosexual to be healed is by fasting. You read Romans chapter 1, it's a vile sin, it's nasty. But if they want victory, they can have it if they will fast. If they will bring the flesh under control, they can be delivered from those demons, from those devils. And I don't think I'm talking charismatically tonight as much as, but this is definitely talking about a spirit world. I also like this statement. When this boy was out of control and he was foaming at the mouth, wallowing, screaming, even if they're in a state where they don't want to be healed, like let's say it's a homosexual, do you know how heartbreaking it is, family members that I've talked with? Somebody gets out of church and gets backslidden when a parent watches one of their children become a homosexual. It wrenches their heart in a million pieces. You say, what can they do? They can fast. They can fast. And it'll help free them. Next. Now let's go back to Mark chapter 9. And I started with this and Mark chapter 9. We're almost done. Go back to Mark. We were in Matthew. Now go back to Mark chapter 9. Fasting is designed, and I started with this, to increase our faith. Mark chapter 9. Look at verse number 19. Jesus answereth him, the Father, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I... You know what? He didn't say, O fastless generation. He said, faithless generation. He said, nobody here has enough faith to get the demon out of the boy. Jesus wasn't fasting. Now we know he was filled with the Spirit of God without measure. Okay? We know that he did not have limitations like we do. However, he looked at him and he said, faith is the reason nobody can help this boy. And he said, he's been a long time like this. He said, nobody in this town has had enough faith in God to help and deliver this boy. Jesus is, I think, a little angry, righteous indignation, you will. Watch this, verse 20, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground. Look at verse number 22. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Watch closely. Jesus said unto him, if thou believe. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. You see, the problem wasn't that there was no fasting. The problem that there was no faith. No faith. Fasting, listen closely, fasting did not produce a miracle. Faith produced the miracle. Fasting produces the faith in us to trust God so that God can work through us. Faith, fasting, is designed to change the faster, the one doing the fasting. It does not change God. And I tried to bring that across last week. Fasting doesn't force God into a corner or strong-arm God to answering your prayers. It increases your faith so that God sees the faith and can work through you. That's what fasting is for. That's what fasting is for. This disciples' fast, I told you, is for helping those who can't help themselves. It's designed to empower those who are powerless. It's designed to break demonic powers. It's designed to increase our faith. Jesus said back in Matthew 17, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, when they said, how come we couldn't cast him out? He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence and yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Tonight, I wanted to look at one fast that Jesus taught the disciples. He used a demon-possessed boy. Jesus was able to cast out the demon, and then he taught his disciples. It's because of your unbelief. So this requires a lot of faith. So that's why it doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. And if you don't have enough faith to get it done, if you don't have enough power, you fast for the faith so that God can work through you. That's the disciples' fast. I hope this, as far as when, look, it's wonderful as a church when you find, when if we're around each other enough, we're going to find out our weaknesses. Now, hopefully, they're not, you know, you don't eat at each other, but you try to encourage each other. And you know, when somebody's struggling with and they're trying to get victory in their life, you could say something like this: "I'll fast with you about it. Let's not tell anybody else, but just why don't we fast about it? Why don't we fast next Tuesday?" That's a brother going to another brother in Christ saying, I'll help you. I'll encourage you. I'll pray with you. I'll labor with you for this, and we'll both pray together. Do you know you can do that with family? Do you know you can do that, I think, in the church? And I think it draws Christians closer. I think it... What better way to say I love you as far as I'll pray with you about that? And then if you want to take it another step, I'll fast with you about that. But we don't think that way. The disciples' fast is when you see somebody else struggling and you need the faith so God can work through you. It's designed to increase your faith. Let's pray. Father, please help us.